You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, everybody? This is Raised in the Woods. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Ellie Lawton, the chef extraordinaire, award-winning culinarian, bringing that food from the field, from the forge to the table, and of course, our homesteader with the mostetter, Sarah Marinas, is here, and she's got some homestead advice for us coming up. And wow, do we have a couple of intriguing guests. If you happen to listen to this show last week, a gauntlet was laid down, a challenge, and the most fascinating, most successful, strangest, oddest, weirdest thing to eat publicly in en masse, the raccoon feed at the Delafield, Wisconsin American Legion, right in the heart of Raised in the Woods territory. We've got you listening on Civic Media from Michigan to Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa. And right in the heart of it, nearly 500 people showed up to the raccoon feed for the Delafield American Legion. We're talking about 100 more people than last year. And if you listen to the show last Saturday as it was aired live at 11 o'clock, I think a heck of a lot of people headed down there because those numbers were really boosted and the place was packed.
It was awesome.
That's right.
Nick Corgett's here. Sherry Ritz is here. And Sherry Ritz is definitely somebody who is... We're going to work on 2 weeks in a row because we're trying to crack the code of that recipe for the 150 raccoons. She didn't think
she's
that was
like,
up
that's
tonight.
Not she's leaving. I'm done. Yeah. She just started the car.
I figured that's what this was, why you guys wanted us
it's
back.
It's a shakedown.
I mean, look, you're nice and all, Sherry, but we got a purpose, a method behind our madness here on Raised in the Woods. And we... and by we,
she's
I mean Chef Lawton is unstoppable when it comes to figuring out what she wants, especially when it refers to food. So I'm hoping we can get that recipe.
Yeah, I play this game in life. Do you guys want to know what the game is called?
Sure, what's it called?
I win. Which is interesting because we'll talk about that later in the show.
I think it was an absolute success, and it was about...
It was wonderful.
5 degrees outside, and when you stepped in the American Legion, I think it was 170 degrees Kelvin inside. It was so hot. There were so many people, and you guys, I couldn't believe the amount of raccoon you feed to people, and I noticed about every third person, Nick, is... a new raccoon eater.
That's right.
So, I mean, did you have more raccoon... newbies, raccoon virgins this year than usually?
Yeah, we did. We print out a certain amount of these certificates for new people that are trying the raccoon. And this year we ran out about 6:30, and we continued to serve until well after 7:30. So this was a big year for new people.
We had two newbies with us. Mr. Meatman Mike Kretschmer and former co-host Danielle Fairman joined us, and they were both new to it as well. They loved it.
Oh, that's great.
Everybody was so happy at the event.
Yeah.
Like you just walk around and everybody's just happy. Loved it.
Great energy. And I mean, the food was fantastic.
Yes, the food was fantastic.
The food is fantastic. And I'm not talking, I mean, this isn't like go there and just eat a pile of dead raccoon, which just sounds like literally if someone were to say that, it sounds deplorable. But when you see it on the plate and it's so delicious, and you guys have coleslaw and mashed potatoes and gravy and
you guys get
dessert.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't get a dessert.
I didn't get dessert. What were they?
I got to cut down.
There was
the
a
sugar.
Variety of desserts.
It's all homemade stuff. Here you go.
Sherry,
the auxiliary brings in all these desserts, and they're all homemade and we had one lady bring in 5 lemon meringue pies and So it was quite a variety. And like you said, everyone was happy.
We saw the dessert display when we got there, but by the time we were done eating and stuff, we were also busy chatting with everyone. So,
all right, I am going to mention it right off the top of the show. We laid down. We kind of put Chef Lawton on the spot on our last show. She whipped up her version of raccoon.
It was my first time cooking raccoon, you guys.
Really?
It was.
Now you grew up hunting raccoons with your dad.
Yeah.
You never kept one for the family?
No, my dad gave them to other people. They would actually place their orders for raccoon carcasses.
Sure.
And then they'd come pick them up for Thanksgiving and the holidays and such. My mother, she's very good at cooking venison, but she never dabbled in cooking raccoon and such. Squirrel, rabbit, and venison pretty much, and fish, but not raccoon.
Did you guys use the fur?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I was going to say, did he dry them, stretch them, the whole deal?
We used a lot of the furs, and then a lot of them we'd take and turn in. It was like a cool thing to do as a kid. Like, go turn it in. You could choose whether you got cash or like leather gloves. I always went for the leather gloves. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, I probably had 85 pairs of them. Well, now, were the leather gloves made out of deer skin or something like that?
Yes,
what it was.
Yeah.
Used to be, you know, you turned in your deer skin at Fleet Farm, and then they would give you a pair of deer skin gloves.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Sarah's like,
this is blowing my mind.
Homesteaders.
I was going to say, who is they? Did you go, was it Fleet Farm?
It was Fleet Farm when I was growing
for
up.
For you?
For me, it was a gentleman. He'd come to town, and I want to say it was on like the west side of Oconomowoc somewhere, maybe by like Old Schweifel's.
He'd take the carriage into town.
He would pull up with this big trailer. And you could go and deposit.
Was it an open trailer?
No, it was like a closed trailer. It had a couple little windows on it. And you'd walk up to the window and you would give your furs to him. So coyote, rabbit.
That's right
raccoon.
By my house. So I can confirm he's not there anymore.
He's not there anymore. I think that's when they started doing it at Farm and Fleet or Fleet Farm.
That's possible.
They did it at Farm
and
Fleet in Watertown.
This guy would come up and he'd say, I say, young lady, why don't you come up here and sell your wares and I'll let you have a little snake oil.
I'd go, that's sell my what?
That is not what
that's
happened.
Private. That's private. I know.
That is not why, what happened.
I dare say you've got quite a few raccoons there today.
My dad took me and I was under his supervision the whole time.
This will solve everything.
And I just fall on the ground.
That was a really fun thing to do as a child.
I bet it was.
And like you felt so cool going up to the window and being like, do I want the cash or the gloves?
Behind door number one. I never hunted till I was 38 years old, which a lot of people know if they listen to the show. I was late to hunting and boy, I dug in. I'll tell you that.
I'm going to follow your footsteps. I'm 37.
Perfect.
And I've never actually shot anything.
Time to start.
I can't wait for
spring.
I started
at 38 and it became an incredibly important part of my life. And I'm going to say, I've said this on the show before, but one of the most satisfying things about hunting and putting it that food on the table for sustenance, for your family, friends, for yourself, is that you understand the gravity of taking the life that you're eating. Mm-hmm. And I think that an understanding of that gravity, an understanding of the fact that you know, is a heck of a lot more meaningful and frankly more ethical than when you buy it under cellophane in the store and you don't understand that a life has to be given in order for you to have that meat to take home.
I would agree with that.
And so as long as you're not a vegetarian, if you are a meat eater, I think going hunting may not be your thing. But I think going along fishing and understanding the fish you take is a life that's given for you to have sustenance. I think that's a really important lesson.
I think a great piece of it, too, is learning how to use the animal, not just for the meat.
Oh, yes.
The hide, the feathers, the bones, everything. There's so many interesting and fun projects and decor for your home or clothing that you can make out of all of your harvest. It's just amazing.
That is a category. You know, I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. I'm wearing several pieces of harvested animals on myself right now, but I want you guys to just think about it. We'll revisit it a little later in the show. What are some of your favorite things to do with the non-meat parts of an animal? How's that? That's a cool trivia question, isn't it?
Love that.
I want to talk about our Wild of the Week because before we finally in the Midwest had a little break in the freezing.
Yeah, we saw the sunshine and it was actually warm.
And it's so nice to have had that. And I have to say, I'll start. My Wild of the Week was going outside. When it got up to like 15 degrees, I felt like it was balmy because it had been so cold for so long.
It didn't hurt when you walked outside. Yeah.
But I watched the moon this week.
Oh, the moon. That was going to be mine.
No. Come on.
Yeah.
For real?
The last
The moon was
three,
insane this week.
Yes.
Why was that? Does anybody know why?
It was a full moon.
Yeah, but it was huge. It was different colors.
I don't know why, but I
was it a blood moon?
Totally noticed that.
I don't know. I'm not an astronaut.
No, I launch rockets sometimes. I'm pretty much an astronaut. You know what? I get called something that's the start of the word astronaut quite frequently.
Sorry to hear that. If the shoe fits.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. If the shoe fits, take flight. Nick Corgett, what did you do in the outdoors this week?
Well, with the coon feed being, something that takes up so much time leading up to it, we just had a chance to get outside. We took the wiener dogs for a walk. The weather was a lot nicer.
Oh, my goodness.
We were able to enjoy some time just walking the dogs, which was fantastic.
Yeah, it is a great outdoor activity. Sherry, did you get outside?
I did not.
Oh.
Well, I have been glued to the Legion for the last 5 days, all the way up to the coon feed, prepping and doing whatever.
I have to say.
I did look outside.
Yeah,
the snow was gorgeous.
And you guys had an awesome bonfire going outside all night, too, helping people park and make the whole thing very smooth. Then there was a guy who was a furrier there, and that was really cool. He was set up on the inside.
Ernie.
He had a white muskrat that was tanned.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It was really, really cool.
He
wanted only $30 for it. Then he had these beautiful raccoon hides that were tanned.
Okay, I missed that.
Skunk hides.
He had these skunk hides.
No,
they don't smell.
These skunk hides were gorgeous.
Yeah, skunk is beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous.
So I think we mentioned him last time we were here. He's famous around our Legion, so we call him affectionately Arnie the Coon King.
This is the Coon King. I wish I would have known that. And when I introduced myself, I just talked to him. Yep. I would have said, hey, you're famous on Raised in the Woods.
Does Arnie sell his furs?
He does. That's his primary purpose for doing what he does.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to get a hold of Arnie. Yeah,
how do you kill a skunk without it stinking? That's what I'm going to ask him.
Carefully.
Very carefully.
Usually,
or do you have to trap
John Whitmore, who's a friend of the show and a good hunting buddy, usually traps them.
Okay.
And then they will spray when they're trapped. Mm-hmm. So by the time that you dispatch them or you kill them, they're out of their, majority of their scent is out of the glands. And then
that's how that works.
Okay.
That's what he told me. I don't know if that's how it works. I'm not trying it myself. That is for darn sure. I'll tell you that. Quick. Sarah Marinas, were you outside this week?
Yes. Ice skating with my 3-year-old Emmett.
Oh,
we call him
goodness.
Emmy Bear. And he was with his little girlfriend, Kezzy Bear.
Oh, that's
And he did fall.
Awesome.
He goes, whoa, that's slippery.
Chef Lawton?
Mine was going to be the moon. You stole it. There were like 3 nights in a row where the sky was just clear and beautiful. The moon was huge and bright and the stars were, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm really excited because we're going to hear firsthand from Nick and Sherry how Chef Lawton's recipe measured up. This is Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Raised in the Woods is your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the Midwest. We're coming to you on Civic Media. My name is Joel Clayfish. I get to host this menagerie of outdoor adventure, this culinarily creative corner of the world. We cover everything on this show, from what to do in the outdoors, how to do it, crazy things that people involve themselves in, like noodling, sticking their hand mm-hmm. under a rock in the Mississippi River, hoping that
shout out to Danielle,
50-pound catfish clamps on. And yes, shout out to Danielle and Mike Kretschmer, Chef Lawton, and I. We were all at the 500-person raccoon feast at the Delafield
so
American
wonderful.
Legion. Which was awesome. And I want to say before, and we've got, of course, Chef Lawton is here, co-host of the show, and our homesteader, who's got a homesteader tip coming up, which I'm excited about.
And I will be always at the Coon Feed next year.
The
100%.
Everybody
100%
better
be
at the 100th.
The next year is the 100th ever mm-hmm. Coon
yes.
Feed in Delphi.
You missed
that is
my pun.
Really
That's
excited.
Why I said I will 100%
be there. I caught it.
Oh, I got it. I bet Jacob got it.
For those who missed it.
Before we go on, though, I would be remiss if I didn't say one of the greatest things about the Coon Feed has absolutely nothing to do with the weirdness of eating raccoons or the deliciousness of the food or the free-flowing beer or the raffle prizes or the laughing or camaraderie. It has to do with the fact that there are people at this event who literally signed a piece of paper to say they will die to protect this country. Mm-hmm. And there were Korean War veterans there. There were Vietnam War veterans. These people, to get to sit down with them and chat one-on-one with people who lived history, and to be able to show you that you appreciate what they did, that to me is one of the highlights of this event at the American Legion. Al Shook, I got to visit with him for a while.
He's so wonderful.
He's fantastic. He's a veteran. He has been involved in the outdoors. He was one of my first experiences when I started working in the outdoors, because he was very involved in the media and the outdoors, trying to make sure hunters and anglers have rights. So, you know, visiting with Al was fantastic. As
he was one of our panelists.
Been. He was a panelist. Mm-hmm. And we poor Chef Lawton. We set her up.
It was great.
To do a blind taste test of the American Legion's 100-year-old raccoon recipe. That
for my
she...
first time cooking raccoon.
That she whipped together in one day.
I whipped it together in 6 hours.
Wow.
They informed me that they worked on it for, what was it, 7 days? 6 days?
Did it taste like a tire then? If it didn't
no,
get to cook that
no.
Long?
No,
oh
it did
my
not.
Goodness.
I mean, we have a prepping process, but it only cooks for 8 hours.
Yeah.
So you have no excuse.
So it's about the same. It was about the same. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say there was no excuse. I mean, first of all, let me say, both of them were delicious, and I don't worry about it because when she puts together a recipe, it's always good. It always tastes good. So I wasn't worried about that part, but how... It was not fair of me. How do you go up against a 100-year-old tried and true recipe?
No, 99.
Well, okay, 99.
100 is what I'm making.
A nearly,
even better.
Nearly a century of recipe.
At the 100th, I'll have it down.
Yeah, you'll have a year to practice.
I don't need a year. I know exactly what I need to do.
Before we get into the details of it, I was going to ask you, do you think that there's something you'd tweak before we get to next year?
Oh, yes. There are a few things I'm going to tweak. Am I going over it now? Or are
no,
we going to hear
no,
what Nick
gonna,
and Sherry have to say?
We're going to hear what Nick and Sherry have to say first off the bat, but we're going to get into this hot and heavy. So what? How did you feel about, were you guys nervous about the contest to begin with?
No. Okay. I knew we had it.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I mean, you just work on those coons for so long, so many years, so many hours.
We understand.
And you're just really proud of what you do. But I do have to say,
a lot of love goes into it.
All of the contestants that were doing the tasting.
All of the taste testers.
We had five.
They all said that they were both very, very tender. You could cut them with a fork.
Yeah. They were both apart, fall off the bone.
Examples.
They
both,
yes. So that was amazing.
Yes.
For your first time for making it.
Yeah.
Compared to 99 years of making it.
Mm-hmm.
Not me personally.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that, you know, they could tell.
You don't look a day over 98, Sherry.
I hope not. But, you know, definitely a difference in the seasonings and all that. But it was fun.
Yes,
everyone had fun. And
oh my gosh.
Thank you.
I want to put Nick on the spot. Nick, grab the mic. We're putting you on the spot tonight. Are you okay with that?
Oh yeah, for sure.
All right. So Nick, how much of the raccoon did you eat this year?
Oh, that kind of on the spot. Well, you know, same. Just like I always take a little bit.
The same as you have last year. Nick?
The same.
Nick is not a fan of wild game. I was
not as much as you might think.
Yeah. How much?
I think Nick might get up and actually break your microphone.
I'm a little nervous. I'm really nervous to tell him this next thing. I don't know if I should wait till after the break to tell him.
I think you should wait because I think he needs a break.
Let him sweat it out.
I'm starting to sweat a little bit because if Nick gets up, he's going to beat you up.
To talk about the details of Chef Lawton's attempt to break into the taste category of the 99-year-old recipe at the Legion. And we're also going to talk to Nick about his raccoon eating habits, even though he's one of the biggest guys, literally and figuratively, at the coon feed. This is Raised in the Woods. Holy cow, I cannot believe what we get into on this show. I mean, we right down to downright deception.
We like to get in fights.
Joel Clayfish. I'm the host of this train wreck. I mean, show Raised in the Woods, along with co-host Ellie Lawton, homesteader Sarah Marinas, Nick Corgett is here, and so is Sherry Ritz, which is, by the way, one of the coolest like radio names ever. I'm Sherry Ritz reporting.
I think Sherry and Nick make such a great addition to the panel.
I do too.
Yeah.
I mean, this just feels like it's right.
Did you ever think of like news broadcasting with a name like Sherry Ritz, or is that your married name, Sherry Ritz?
That is my married name that I requested when I met my husband.
The verdict is
to have four letters.
You wanted a shorter last name.
That was a requirement
for dating.
Yes.
Yes. That's a good requirement.
That's not a horrible requirement. Mm-hmm.
That's reasonable.
We on the show, as you know, often have wild game dinners before the show. And Nick Corgett, who is extremely involved in the Raccoon Feed Festival, led on to us.
And I actually think
his wife led on to us more so than he did.
That was definitely her, yeah.
Oh, Nick was honest with me. He just wasn't broadcasting it to everybody at the table.
Please don't take offense at this. Nick's about 5'7", 342 pound.
Nick, how tall
five
are you?
5'7"?
Brick.
No.
You're over 6 feet.
You're 6'3", 6'4"?
6'5".
I was right.
5'7"?
I said, oh, I meant 6'7".
You said 5'7". I was like, that's smaller than me.
I was like, you're off.
He's about 6.5 feet tall, and he's about half that wide, and he is like a brick wall if you ever met the guy, okay?
If you vision a caveman, you'd be the man in the cave.
Yes.
I'll take it.
And I'm going to tell you, Nick is clearly I mean, he's not afraid of food, obviously. He's a big...
Okay, hold on a second. You're making it seem like he's from my 600-pound life.
No.
He is not overweight at all.
Five, seven, eight feet wide.
I've done my research. The guy looks like a bodybuilder from the 70s, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
He can I'm sure the guy... Honestly, I think Nick could pick up a car with one
arm. Nick, don't you do something like that?
Yeah, I do professional strongman. I do
Okay. That's what I'm trying to describe here.
Lead with that on your own.
We didn't even get to that. Like, that's a whole... Oh, I wish we had more time.
You were scolding me. I didn't mean to.
You're talking about
for
him being obese, and he's not.
I am out of shape.
He's built like a truck.
Let's not make any mistakes. I am the only obese person on this panel.
No, you're not.
Well, probably medically I am.
But your favorite dish?
Food is my favorite dish. Yes, but let's get back on track. This show is going off.
For once, you're saying that. Wow.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying that.
Well, you have your jean shotgun into your boot, so you're ready for something.
I do. Yeah, okay.
Boot scooting boogie.
We do have on this show, we eat before the show very often.
Yes, we have a family dinner.
We have a family dinner before the show very often. And today, I made shepherd's pie. And Chef Lawton made cowboy casserole. And Nick informed us through his wife and his own actions that he really only eats meat, cheese, and bread. But he is okay with mashed potatoes and stuff like that. So I made a very simple...
Meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes, cheese. So I made cowboy casserole.
No, I made shepherd's pie.
And cowboy Chef Lawton made... shepherd's, I miss mixing them all. Cowboy casserole. Nick ate the snot out of it.
It was fantastic. They both were very good. Yeah.
Well, I'm
Nick
here to tell you.
Went in for seconds on both.
Nick,
that's true.
Who is a little shy of wild
game
meat.
I knew you were going to do this.
I have to do it. I can't. You ate ram.
I had a sense something was coming here. And that was ram?
That was ram meat of a ram. I harvested an actual ram on, you know, on the side of the mountain that I harvested the ram and made it into
ground. Is it on the
wall? Ground ram meat. As a matter of fact, it is.
Which one was it?
That.
No kidding.
It was Markor.
Well, if we're being honest,
the one
here.
With the okay,
all right,
and so,
oh, another
so,
one's coming.
How do you feel about the fact that you ate ram?
The ram was very good. I would eat that again in a second. It
ram
was delicious.
And Ellie, what was in yours?
Ellie, what if did we're being you have honest, in yours?
It was beef, but there was some venison in it too. Oh.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I've done that before.
I thought you were going to say raccoon.
I told you they slipped it on us, Nick.
I'm going to say one of the joys. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that Joel did call me before the show and he was getting ready to make the shepherd's pie. And I'm like, listen here. Nick made it very clear he's not going to eat vegetables, fruit, or any sort of weird wild game. So make the shepherd's pie with beef. And Joel goes, but I have ram. And I'm like, use the beef. He's like,
ram it is.
You know what? I think I'm going to not listen to you and do my own thing.
Yep. And I
sure
said
did.
To myself, one of the biggest joys in my life is feeding people wild game and having them go, this is delicious. Feeding them goose and having them say, this is most delicious pulled beef I've ever had or beef roast I've ever had. And knowing that Nick likes meat, you can make any kind of ground meat taste good with the right seasoning or gravy and that type of thing. So,
and now Nick will never be coming back for dinner.
Oh, yeah. For God's sake.
A pack of peanut butter sandwich. Yeah.
If Nick came to a dinner by Raised in the Woods, he's not that naive to think that something might be awry.
I'm glad you did it too. It was very good. I'll say it again. Good. It was very good. And I have a new favorite meat now.
Oh, wow. Markor.
And I have to be honest with you. I have only had buffalo stew out in Wyoming, and that's the only wild game I have ever eaten in my life.
Are you kidding?
Sherry.
No. You don't eat the raccoon?
It's delicious.
Oh, my goodness.
And my husband's a deer hunter, and I don't eat venison.
Oh my gosh, that
so
is
you
a
both
shame
fooled
too.
Me.
You had venison wow. tonight, and you had wild ram, because that was a Texas Markhor that I brought some back and had it ground. So isn't this for the two of you enlightening, really?
Very.
They're going to be mad trash about us on the way home.
You know what? It's worth the risk. I think it's worth the risk. I really do.
They're not running to the toilet to throw up, so I think it's fine.
I was more worried about the beans, vegetable stuff in there. I'm going to have to be talking to you about the recipe, though.
Yeah.
For both of those, yeah.
Those are very, mine was very simple to make.
Mine is too.
I whipped it together in 2 hours before the show, but very simple. We need to get back to the meat of this hour. Yes. Chef Lawton was brave enough to put her raccoon roast up against the raccoon from the 99th ever raccoon feed at the Delafield American Legion. Guys, we had a panel of veterans who did the taste test, and let's talk about those results. What was the feedback you got, Nick?
So on my side, I got some really good feedback both ways. So everybody was raving about both of them, to be totally honest. And what you did in such a short period of time was fascinating. But the general feedback was, it's a little biased. So they know what our taste is. So
yeah, of course.
They were trying to be as non-biased as possible, but they had to put their cast of vote into the Legion recipe, from what I heard.
Yes, they did.
Well, they have to be diplomatic. And when you eat something for that many years in a row, you're going to know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And like everyone says, the Legion's coon tastes more like corned beef.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they could probably tell right away what the difference was from, because I believe yours didn't.
Well, and mine, just the appearance, you could tell. The meat itself looked the same, but what I didn't remember from the year prior was that you guys keep the bay leaves in there when you serve it, and you have the chunks of carrots. So mine did not have that. Mine was the straight meat. I had already taken my bay leaves out. I had not rinsed, but a lot of my spices were not showing. So mine was just the pure meat. So when you sat down to do the side-by-side tasting, you could tell right away that yours obviously had the chunks of vegetables. And that was the feedback that we got from the panel, the chunks of vegetables. And then the biggest difference between the two, the textures, I think, were about the same. Joel, mm-hmm.
Yes,
you,
for sure.
You had
both
it.
Both very tender, very delicious.
Yeah, so that I'm super happy with the way mine turned out as far as the texture. It fell off the bone. It was very delicious, beautiful meat. I'm kicking myself for not putting carrots in my roasting pan. I was really, really angry. As soon as I saw yours being plated up next to mine, I'm like, oh, I knew it. I forgot that. So I kicked myself for that. And then if you guys have been following the show or my recipes, I don't cook with a lot of salt. I always bring like herbs to it or more seasoning and less salt. Mm-hmm. You guys season yours and you use salt. So that was the biggest difference. I think if I had cranked up the salt factor in mine, it would have been more comparable as far as the flavor profile goes. The appearance, definitely noticeable with the chunks of carrots and the bay leaves in yours versus mine that was just the straight meat and bones. But I loved it. It was so much fun, you guys. I can't even.
So with that said, we thank you.
Oh,
we thank
you. Thank you for having us. We loved it.
That was really neat. Something different that we haven't
done. And how about a challenge? How about next year we come back for the same challenge? Are we good with that, Chef Lawton?
I think you should blindfold people, though.
So this is what I learned. I'm going to add some more salt when I actually go to cook mine. And then I'm going to do I'm going to do onions, carrots, bay leaves. I had avocado leaves in mine, too.
We'll tell you one secret.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go, guys.
When we cook it, we don't put any salt on it.
So where's all the salt coming from?
Next year. We'll tell you that next time.
Well, it's not going to help me. No. Well, it doesn't matter for me because yeah. I know in the cooking process as a chef where I would add the salt to be more comparable to the flavor profile that you guys had. Because Sherry, you're right. Yours does pick up a lot of the corned beef flavor. I had those spices, but I didn't back it up with the salt. So when it hits your palate, you are getting the clove and some mustard seed and things like that right away from mine. Whereas yours, you're going to get that salt on the front of the tongue, and that's going to carry through and kind of carry those spices through on the back end. So
I think one of you said something about a blindfold for next year. I think that's a good idea.
Here. Yes.
And I think we should maybe steer away from people that have done it before and maybe move into some first-time people.
Some
first-timers? Yeah, why don't we grab
I think that'd be real fun to do.
I think that'd be fun.
We should get some first-time raccoon tasters.
I think we should have a mix. Some first-timers and some first-timers and old-timers.
Well, hey, I'll tell you, when McNulty's did the very first coon feed, they probably didn't get everything right either. So it was our first try.
I thought it was great,
but again, it was perfect.
Let me go back to thank you again for your time and efforts.
Oh, thank you.
And so with that said, is she second place?
I'm second
All right.
place.
All right. Here's your second place prize.
Oh, thank you.
We are giving you
my second place raccoon
apron.
Thank you.
From the Delafield American Legion.
I'm so excited.
Coon feed.
Well, next
Allie, so now you can play another game. Not I win, but I come in second place.
Oh, no, Sarah. What you don't understand is next year I'm going to show up. Mine's going to taste exactly the same because I've got a really, really good thing going on in my brain about it.
Oh, that's fantastic. What an awesome
time. We'll both
be
in first place next year.
I'm really excited because we've got our Homesteader Tip of the Week and Recipes of the Week, which is very exciting and very apropos for the big game. This is Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. All you gotta do is repeat after me. A, B, C, easy as 1, 2, 3. All simple as though,
make me. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, baby, you and me. This is Raised in the Woods. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Ellie Lawton, our homesteader with our tip of the week. Sarah Marinas, of course, Nick Corgett's here. And Sherry Ritz is here, who are still trying to steal one of the best wild game recipes I've ever had, their version of the raccoon, which has been around for 99 years, 100 years next year. Chef Lawton had a contest. She put her raccoon, which she cooked for the first time, up against their 99-year recipe. And I think most people who tried it still gave the slight edge to the 99-year-old recipe.
They sure did.
But Chef Lawton is coming back next year, and I'm excited to talk about today's recipes of the day. But first, Sarah Marinas, have you got a homesteader tip for us?
I do. The general tip is to be okay with failing. So when I wanted to be a homesteader,
I feel like that's directed towards me.
No, because when you fail, you learn.
This
I learn
is very
by,
absolutely true.
I learn by failing.
You can't know what a sunny day is like unless you've lived through the rain.
Yes.
Sarah.
Yes. And something that we've failed a lot and then we tweak is doing our own tapping trees for maple syrup.
Ooh,
that's a lot of work.
I love this tip. Let's hear it.
You cannot tap your trees yet. It's still too cold. Right. We're about a month out.
Okay.
But right now is the time to take inventory of your trees. And to even if you don't have maple trees, to know the trees that you do have access to and what they are.
What are the other kinds of trees?
So this would be like scouting for fields, but for trees.
Sure.
Yeah. So we've done a birch tree before.
You made birch syrup.
Oh,
yeah. I've heard of that.
Wonderful.
And we only have birch and maple in our yard. Mm-hmm. So look what you have. If you've done it before, now's the time to see if any of your bags ripped over the winter. If you know where all of your taps are. Remember.
Your spiles. That's what they're called, right?
Oh, we call them taps.
Yeah, okay. But I don't know. I'm dating myself, but I think the original name was a spile.
Yeah.
Twists into the tree, and that's where the sap comes out into the bag.
That could have been a part on the buggy.
Yeah.
That you used to go out and collect it on.
That was part of the buggy.
That's what the snake oil came out
of. That fur trader used to come and visit you with.
So this week, Tyler and I took inventory, and we do need to buy a couple bags and then also set up how you want to boil it down. So our house was built in the 60s, and we had our original oven when we bought the house. And it took forever to boil it down.
Sure.
We couldn't do
it. Isn't it something like 20 to 1?
Yeah. So when you, it'll look like water when it comes out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
if you
drink
really
it. It's really good to drink it too.
My kids just drink it by the cupful. We set up a huge bonfire and we have our cinder blocks and pans and do it that way. And then we finish it inside. But wow. Play around with it. You're going to have so much. Do you want to do it
inside? I would love to encourage people to try to make their own tree syrup.
Yeah.
Because the natural maple syrup you have, I mean, there is nothing in the store that compares to it. Mm-hmm.
And
not
the
even close.
Best part about failing, when I left it alone, when it was in the house, is it overcooked and turned into rock candy.
Ooh.
And it is my brother's favorite candy.
Yummy.
And we always... We don't even burn it. We just overcook it. So it still tastes delicious.
So it's just what you're just continue taking the moisture out of it.
So it's rock candy. And then I just take a spoon and stab it a couple times, break it up.
Sounds delightful.
And I give it to my brother.
Ooh, I can't wait to have some.
What do you got for food for the week, Chef Lawton?
Well, what do we have for food for the week?
Are you throwing us in the mix again?
The big game coming up in a day here, right? I thought you guys could share your favorite Super Bowl snack that you like to eat, and I'm going to share mine.
Oh, that sounds great. Who do you want to go first?
You go first.
I'll go first. So I love a really easy recipe. I will take any wild game that is ground, and I will add chives to it and provider dragon or any Asian seasonings to that. Wrap it in wonton and deep fry it. I don't know what it's called or what it is.
Joel's wontons.
Is that a wonton? Is that what that is?
Yeah. Say Joel's drops.
Joel's egg rolls.
Joel's, I don't know what that is, but I
Joel
I make
rolls.
Little,
Joel
I make
rolls.
Little teardrops out of it. Joel's got plenty of rolls, so perfect.
It's Joel's purse.
It's Joel's man bag.
Yes.
Which is a merse.
Yeah,
a merse.
I was gonna say, it's a merse.
Joel's merse. Sure. Joel's meat
but
merse.
I'm telling you, they're delicious. Okay. Wow. Next.
We're gonna meet reeling next. It back in.
Next.
I'm going to share mine.
Go
it's
for
it's super easy. We've talked, we made it ice fishing last year. Shout out to George. He really loved it. It's my quick wild game queso. So I take any shredded or ground wild game. I add it with, this is super unhealthy, a big block of Velveeta cheese, a jar of salsa, some green chili, some jalapenos, put it on the stove, let it melt. And it is so wonderful.
Wow.
I can't stop eating it. Yeah. It's perfect
it
for a game.
Great. Sarah Marinas, have you got a favorite Super Bowl snack?
No, I could care less about sports.
Okay.
So,
she's busy homesteading.
Yeah, I don't
she's
make
too busy
anything.
She's making syrup.
But I will go to a party and
Sherry,
eat.
Sherry, have you got one?
What do you have?
I do. I love having a stuffed jalapeno.
Oh, a popper. What do you stuff it with?
The popper.
Well, kind of, sort of, but meatless. Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay.
Just take a water chestnut, cut it in half. And with some cream cheese.
That sounds delightful.
Yum.
Take out the seeds, cut the jalapeno in half, wrap it with bacon.
Yeah.
And bake it.
Sure, I would go to your party. I wouldn't watch the football game, but I would eat those.
Nick, what's your favorite snack?
Now that you are now an experienced wild game eater, what would you have?
I got to tell you what. Normally, my wife makes this awesome beer cheese dip. There's usually ground beef in there. But this year, we might go with some ram.
I'm giving you some to take home. I'm giving you some to take home. Oh my gosh. What a great show. Of course, we've got Jacob in the studio and we sure love that guy and Noah here. What a great time we've had. And we're excited to talk to you next week about all the great things you can do in the outdoors of the Midwest, how you can bring them indoors, and how you can just absolutely love how and where you live. I'm Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in the Woods.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.